Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello. Welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight's show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think.
First, I suppose the story of the day is schools going back and how they're going to do it. Do you know, I'm sorry, my children have grown up and gone, but I'm bored about this, aren't you?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just so bored about it.
I don't even know what the rules are.
Just send your kids back to school. What is the problem?
They don't. They're using it as an excuse so they don't have to go to work. That's what they're using. They're using them as pawns to, as excuse.
Yeah. Well, it's also you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and in the end, I think when they said,
We see through your plan. You want to just stay at home and get paid.
Well, let's talk to Caroline, Dr. Caroline Johnson, Conservative MP for Sleaford and North Hacombe. Where on earth is that?
Sussex, is it? Sussex.
I don't know. Caroline Johnson, good evening.
Good evening. It's in Lincolnshire.
That's what I said.
Lincolnshire. What do you mean? It's nowhere near Sussex.
Down the road a bit,
Oh, for goodness sake. A couple of hours, exactly.
Yeah, a couple of hours down
Caroline. Yeah. Now, you're on the Education Select Committee, and everything, as far as I'm concerned, everything seems reasonably straightforward. What on earth is going on?
What do you mean, what on earth is going on?
Well, what on earth is going on? Because people are so organised, arguments and chaos about it. Oh, well, we can't do this. We're not really sure what that means. Oh, how do I do this? Yeah. I mean, we had a bit of an argument with one of the teaching unions last week on the show about it. I mean, head teachers are there to direct and sort everything out. They don't have to be told every single thing they have to do, surely, and all schools are different anyway.
Well, of course they are, and of course they're absolutely capable of identifying how to apply particular guidance to their own school, as each is unique. And that's what the government's done today. Is it said, look, we need all children back at school in September, and it's issued detailed guidance both to parents on what to expect, and to teachers on how to manage that within the potential different school environments.
Yeah.
This is really detailed guidance. It's been developed with the education sector. And importantly, with Public Health England, scientific experts as well.
You would think that the teaching unions would be far more supportive, wouldn't you?
Well, to be honest, I think I've been a bit disappointed with some of them. One of them, the NFU, I think has said, I believe, sent a letter to some of their teachers saying, you know, not to engage initially with how to get children back into school. And, you know, if that's true, then that isn't a very helpful thing to do, is it? But I think we need to look forward and not back. We know that children, despite the best efforts of themselves, the valiant efforts of the teachers and the input of their parents working very hard trying to juggle everything, that most children to some extent have fallen behind where they would have been if they'd been in school. And what we need to do is get them back into school from September and focus on how we catch up on that lost learning.
I mean, we're going to have to sort. I mean, you know, those people going to university this year, that's all going to have to sort out. Otherwise, you get a backlog for the next few years.
Well, the grades as well is a big problem with the grading.
All right,
the
don't shout
for this
at us.
Year,
sorry,
the grades
Caroline.
This year is really difficult because, you know, the children can't sit their exams. They work really, really hard. They're looking forward to being able to show what they can do. And now they can't. And they're reliant on the mocks, which, you know, some children do improve massively between the mocks and the final exams. So we've got the teachers projections, and we're working with those. But if students feel that the result that they get isn't the result that they think they were capable of, then they will be able to sit the exam in the autumn in any subject to make sure that they get the, you know, they're given the opportunity to get the grades that they deserve. If they don't, they don't. But, you know, the process to both get the teachers' projections and then to moderate them will be happening, and they should get their results on time, which I think is really important as well.
I mean, I saw one head teacher today saying he didn't know what all the fuss about. He was sorting it out. It's quite obvious if you just follow your sense and take some of the other things that need, not all schools, you can do an enormous amount of social distancing. And I think if anybody's seen the latest rules, then they're leaving quite a lot of that to the head teachers. And in some schools, you won't be able to do it. So
there's other buildings they can borrow off the councils, aren't there, that aren't in use at the moment?
What we said is that in primary schools from September, they will be needing to be in their bubbles, but not needing to be socially distant, because for very young children, that's very difficult to achieve. And the older children will be encouraged to be socially distant where they can be, and put into bubbles, which may be a class bubble or a year group size bubble, but there won't be the numerical restriction of 15 that there was initially, because we know that the disease is much less prevalent, so the risk is much lower, and therefore we're able to do that. And also because you put in place plans for what to do if a child were to develop coronavirus and test positive. And Public Health England will go to that school. They may make testing kits available for perhaps the class or their bubble. And they would look in detail at each particular school, in each particular case, to decide whether there needed to be any further action, like isolating a bubble for a fortnight, for example.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
We should get a school to invite us in and spend the day in school. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Right, OK, let's have one more guest on this. Gavin Williamson, the Education Secretary, made an announcement to the House of Commons about schools reopening in September, and the plans are all out there. Let's talk to Darren Northcott, who is a national official. Do this again. National Official for Education at the NASUWT Teachers Union. Darren, good evening to you.
Good evening.
Yeah. Now, you're not going to start moaning about the kids going back to school, are you?
I think we've got a start of a plan to do that, I would say. So the government's published its guidance today, and there's some important things in there that have been missing to date. So there's some good advice in there on health and safety. There's some helpful advice and information for schools, and because we all want to see pupils back in schools in September, but we want to see it done in a way that's safe. I think the key thing is, and you were just, I think, touching on this a little bit in your discussion, is making sure that parents and pupils have the confidence to know that going back to school is going to be safe. And I think there's a bit more work to be done on that front. And there's a few questions, I think, that are raised in that guidance. But we'll keep talking to the DfE and try and get more information, more advice, more guidance, so everyone concerned feels it's safe and is being done in the best way possible.
What sort of guidance?
Well, there's lots of things in there. The guidance is...
Well, give me one. I don't want you to go through lots. I mean, life is too short for that. But just, you know, give me one thing that you're not clear about. Because Ash here is very good at these sort of things. You might be able to sort it out.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of guidance that's been produced, and I will not go through all of it, don't worry. But just to pick one thing, so there's an issue there around transport. So that's really important, to make sure that pupils can get to schools in a safe way. And a lot of pupils depend upon public transport. So it's important, and you know there are restrictions on public transport. Whatever we think of those restrictions, they are there. They're an important part of making sure that people who use buses, the tubes, the trains, that they feel safe, they feel confident. If you get a lot of students trying to use that public transport, particularly in big cities like London, then that's going to be an issue that needs to be addressed. How do we move lots of pupils around all at the same time to make sure that they can arrive at school safely? So we may have to have staggered start times. These are complicated issues.
Hang on. I mean,
information about.
You know, why is it complicated when people are going to work and they're going on buses, they're going on trains, and even some people
time,
are going
at the same time
on the underground?
And you sorted it yourself, staggered starting times.
A lot of kids, though. Lot of kids suddenly using public transport in big cities.
There's a lot of workers in big cities doing that in the morning, and they're in more danger, aren't they? They're more likely to catch it than children.
Awful lot of people using public transport. Suddenly, you aren't using it at the moment, start using it. Now, no one is saying that's insoluble. You're right. There are ways in which we can address this.
Well, that's the job of the head teacher, isn't it, really, to get that sorted out?
Not to run London Underground or the buses. I think it's certainly head teachers got a role. You're right.
But you just got to wear a mask and stay a metre apart. That's the rules of everyone on public transport.
It is. There are rules on public transport, wearing masks, all of it.
Well, so that's what the kids will have to do.
Having a lot of children on that transport at the same time is a challenge that does need to be addressed. I'm not saying it's insoluble. Of course it can be addressed. Yeah. But you need to do it in a planned, sensible way. That's what they've done in other countries where you've got children using public transport. We can do it here, but we need to make sure we've got that plan in place. So transport is a big issue. Yeah.
We know what we've got to do with it.
Well, I'm sure they'll be sorting it out, whether it's underground, people who come on the underground or something. Maybe they're, you know, even if they go on the underground, it's not going to be many stops away.
You need more monitors on the underground because there's people not wearing masks. So there need to be maybe people, transport police or someone maybe keeping an eye on things.
I think that's a really good suggestion. I think that's part of it, absolutely. So cleaning as well. There's a lot of advice in that guidance about cleaning. That's important. That makes people feel confident. It's also important in managing the virus. But again, how that there's a lot more cleaning that normally gets done in a school is required in this guidance, quite rightly. And parents would want that. They'd want to say, if my child's going back to school, it's got to have the best cleaning standards beyond what you normally would have in a school. That's a lot of cleaners. That's a lot of money that has to be spent. You need a plan to make sure that.
But they're still open. They've never shut, so they've been running all the time anyway.
Yeah.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Ahead of hospitality. I can't talk about it tonight. Hospitality opening weekend.
Yeah.
Very nice. And they're getting all upset that, things might not happen.
I think we've had them on the show before, the nighttime interest.
I think we have, haven't we? Yeah. Let's see. Michael Kill, CEO of the Nighttime Industries Association. Michael, good evening to you.
Good evening, James. How are you?
I'm very good. Have we had you on the show before?
I think we have, haven't we?
We have, yeah, definitely. Yes. I've definitely been on with you before, yeah.
Yes.
And we didn't take the mick out of your name or anything like that?
No, I got past that bit initially, but I'm happy for you to crack on now. No.
I mean, it's too late now. The time has passed, hasn't it, Ash?
Well, I don't know. We could try. It's funny, isn't it? That name is quite a good name to have, though, isn't it? Kill. Mr. Kill.
Yeah.
I suppose you're used to it, I mean.
It'd be difficult to open a bank account.
I wonder what your ancestors did that gave them that name.
I think it's Irish ancestors.
Different then, isn't it?
Yeah. I would say Kill with an Irish accent, Ash.
No, I can't do that. That's appropriation.
Anyway, Michael, what's going on? And you're not happy, I know, at the moment, but things are going to start getting back to normal, aren't they?
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you? I mean, obviously, it's the opening weekend, and we've had guidance, so we've had the regulation out, but, you know, still there's a massive amount of confusion of what can happen and what can't happen. You know, you've got government giving guidelines, you've got planning and licensing officers interpreting them in certain ways, and then you've got operators in between trying to work out what the best way to do things are.
And the population have got absolutely no idea what the rules are anymore.
No,
well, they just don't know what they're going to. I mean, many people just don't know what to expect. I mean, the challenge you've got is there's a lot of people that want to come out, but what they don't realise is, you know, only 50% of the venues are really going to be open. No nightclubs or nighttime venues, they're going to be operating at less than 50% of capacity. So. You know, if we have a big weekend, then it's going to be a big challenge for everybody.
And queues outside, won't there? Queues outside.
Yeah, I think what the problem is, Michael, that a lot of people are concerned, probably the age group that do go out for nighttime entertainment, apart from people like Ash and me who like to go to the theatre, have dinner, maybe go to a nice quiet dance hall afterwards. Yeah. But the other sort of society want to go out and get out of their minds and fall all over the place and be stupid, and that's going to cause problems.
Well, I think the thing is that the government haven't helped this. I mean, they've built this up as the New Year's Eve weekend, which is encouraging people to go out and do more. I think there was a recent tweet by the Treasury that suggested people to go out, grab a pint, which was retracted. It was put out on Wednesday and then retracted recently.
Yeah, but I think they meant that, you know, that's not an invitation to go out and get slaughtered, is it, really? I mean, are people that thick who go to nightclubs now?
Well,
I mean,
yes, they are. You've seen them.
Yeah.
I think that most people these days are pretty intelligent. They're not, you know, they go out.
No, but once they've had a few drinks down them.
I mean, listen, there's always going to be a challenge around customer behaviour. I think everyone recognises that, including the operators. So,
The problem here, Michael, is I don't think there should be. Because a lot of people don't go out who would like to go out because sometimes they're just these idiots who drink and drink and drink. And quite frankly, they're not the sort of people you need.
I think it's illegal, isn't it, to be drunk?
Yeah, but nobody does anything about it.
No, exactly. I mean, it's just... It's actually very dangerous that they don't enforce that law. Because people...
They used to have the paddy wagon where I lived, and Saturday nights the cops would come up, get everybody, put them in the back,
load them up, and stick them in a cell somewhere.
You wouldn't be allowed to do that.
I mean, well, it's a lot stricter these days. I mean, licensing doesn't allow you to get away with things like that anymore. It is pretty intense. I mean, you know, the police and local authorities are on most of the licensees pretty strongly. And intoxication is something that they're on top of with people. And most operators these days are very, very professional. So they, you know, don't underestimate the professional levels out there at the moment. I mean, there's some great operators. So.
No, I know there are. I mean, my dad was a publican, so I was brought up in a pub. I know. But, you know, there are the idiots who will preload, I think they call it.
Yeah, well, that's because of the price of you know, £5.50 a pint.
Then why should they be allowed to go out and use somebody's premises if they just stay at home and preload all the whatever you want to do?
Well, there are some pubs that are choosing not to open, aren't there? So, I mean, why are they doing that, Mike?
I think there's a lot of them that are just unsure about how the marketplace is going to receive them. I mean, they're unsure. You know, some of them are financially don't find it's viable to open. Right, some of them... You know, I mean, they only had 10 days since the guidance came out. So, I mean, the government were expecting a lot to be able to turn around all of the sort of protocols, because every site's different. So, as you can appreciate, people have tried to get themselves in order for this COVID sort of measures to make sure they can physically distance and they can look after people. And public health has obviously been a massive focus, but some of them have not been able to achieve that. And some of them are laying back and watching to see what happens over the first weekend. I've got to be honest with you.
They're
unsure how the regulators are going to receive. So I think the industry as a whole has actually taken, you know, a lot of them have taken the right steps. But obviously there's a big concern over, you know, how this is going to pan out, how regulators are going to, and how people, you know, if we have a very strong weekend, it's going to be a massive challenge for operators and regulators across the board.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Reasonable precautions, we should be okay. Oh, God, who's that?
Who the hell's that calling you at this hour?
Yeah, I know. Sorry, can't talk. We should go to school for a day, shouldn't we?
It's more Dickensian in our day. Well, especially your day, I mean.
Fine. There's nobody else on the bus. It's just me.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Oh,
well, you should
do
it when there's other people on the bus. On
no, you
hands
should
free.
Not.
Yeah, and spread the word.
Instead of clubs now where they just you go in and it's just, what? It's like some horror movie where people are just in there crammed in like sardines. I suppose I'm showing my age, but, you know...
What do you mean, Rich? I'll be on the pavement, mate. I'm not going to be on the road.
No, you
it's
will
too dangerous
not.
On the road. I'm not going on the road, man.
Oh, come on, guys. Come on. People coughing and spluttering all over them. Oh, for goodness sake.
Still tasty.
I don't know what buffets you go
to. Yeah, not those sort of places.
That was the clips for today, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.